Welcome to Prompted, the podcast where we unlock creativity one writing prompt at a time. My name is Eric, and if you love exploring new ideas, pushing your writing in unexpected directions, or just need a little creative spark, you're in the right place. New episodes will be released every Monday, so be sure to subscribe and tune in for fresh prompts and inspiring conversations. In each episode, I'll be sharing poetry and flash fiction I've written over the past week or so, inspired by writing prompts. Then, at the end of the episode, I'll give you a prompt to explore on your own. If you take on the challenge, you can share your response by using the hashtag PromptedPodcast on the Blue Sky platform, or visit our website to submit your response. I'll feature a few random submissions in the next episode. I'd like to invite writers who enjoy word prompts to be a guest on the show. As a guest, you'll receive a prompt before we record, one that both you and I will write for. Then, during our interview, we'll both share our responses and dive a little bit into our creative process for those writing prompts. If that sounds like fun, send me a DM on our Blue Sky account at thepromptedpodcast.org or reach out through our website, thepromptedpodcast.org, for more information. One thing that's been really exciting for me is exploring how technology can enhance my creative process. For example, I've been experimenting with an AI-powered music tool called Suno AI. That's S-U-N-O. In some episodes, I will share a song that I've created using this tool. But here's the twist. It all starts with one of my original poems. Now, I'm not trying to replace professional musicians or musicianship. Instead, I see this as a way to bring my words to life in a new and creative way, at least until I connect with real musicians in real life. Now, let's check out this week's episode. This week, I'm introducing a new segment to the show called Deep Dive, where we'll be exploring topics in more depth. So last week, I talked about the power of writing prompts. This week, I'd like to take a closer look at how I approach writing prompts. With any prompt, the first thing I do is create a new entry in my writing journal. Next, I contemplate what the prompt is. For example, if it's a word, I look up that word, even if I think I know what it means. In doing so, I can usually find information such as pronunciation, so I can hear it, any word history or first use, which is very interesting sometimes, a breakdown of the word, so any noun, verb, adjective, etc., and examples of the word used in a sentence or recently used on the web. I study this for a bit, take a few sips of coffee, and let my mind tell me where it's at. If the prompt is more complex, say a phrase or a suggestion of a character type, scene, a scenario, an image, I'll consult with my coffee many times and just let things simmer for a while. Then I start writing. And I've found that if I just dump whatever it is I'm thinking, meaning I'm not trying to fit a specific model or style, I just write. One thing I do with all of my writing that I find very useful is reading everything aloud. I love reading aloud. It adds a certain spin on everything. When I read things aloud, they seem to make more sense. And if something stands out as unclear or awkward, it's easier to identify and revise. In fact, I've found that reading aloud has helped me with specific areas, such as learning to pronounce words correctly, improving my reading pace, and ensuring my writing makes sense and is coherent. New idea, right? Another way I use reading aloud is when I'm reading books. It helps the story I'm reading jump off the page. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Prompted Deep Dive. If you have any suggestions for topics or ideas you'd like to explore in the next deep dive, please send me an email at sayhello@thepromptedpodcast.org, O-R-G, or find us on Blue Sky at thepromptedpodcast.org.
Let's turn our attention to some original poetry that I'm excited to share. Here are three poems that are a result of fantastic writing prompts over the last week or so. Each one a unique reflection of the creative sparks that have ignited within me.
This first poem comes from a word prompt of fringe. That's F-R-I-N-G-E, fringe. And my inspiration are those moments when the hairs on your neck rise for no reason. They don't walk, they breathe. On edges, in light. A whisper in wires, a ghost in data. The missing you'll never find. Static hums, a lock clicks, footsteps stop. And when you feel safe, when you feel alone, the fringe is watching. Always watching, closer than you think. The second poem comes from a word prompt of contour. That's C-O-N-T-O-U-R, contour. Here, I wanted to explore the idea of longing, of wanting something or someone just out of reach. This poem is a love letter of sorts, not to a lover, but to the hope of one, tracing the outline of possibility caught between desire and hesitation. My fingertips tracing over something not yet mine. Your laughter, sharp where it cuts, soft where it lands, a map I dare not follow. One day you might turn, catch me in the act of wanting. Will you let me hold your shape, or will I only ever trace your contour in air? This last poem comes from a word prompt of outlier. That's O-U-T-L-I-E-R, outlier. I wanted to capture the pull of something, or someone, who exists outside the expected. This poem is both admiration and surrender, a quiet gravitational shift toward the one who refuses to fit in. You stand at the edge, where the tide pulls away, where the wind carves its own path. They measure the world in echoes, in lines that never break. But you, the outlier, the note held too long, the shadow refusing to follow, the spark that leaps. I watch from the center, safe in their rhythm, and yet your gravity tilts my orbit. Your silence sings only to me. You are the variable they can't explain, the star uncharted. And I have always been waiting to be pulled into your sky.
Now, let's dive into some original microfiction that I'm excited to share. Here are three fictional stories, or story ideas, inspired by two amazing sources on Blue Sky. The VSS 365 Challenge, which offers daily writing prompts, and Half-Baked Prompts, with its unpredictable, random story stuff to get you writing.
This first story was inspired by a writing prompt dialogue suggestion of "It was a great performance." As I started writing, I leaned into atmospheric horror, focusing on sensory details and slow-building dread rather than outright gore. The audience roared with applause. They clapped, stomped, and cheered, some even rising from their seats in excitement. Backstage, I stood frozen, my hands still slick with stage blood. At least I hoped it was stage blood. This wasn't how tonight was supposed to go. The play had started off normally enough. The actors hit their cues, the props were in place, and the fog machine was working overtime to give just the right eerie ambiance. But then the lights flickered, not in the carefully timed way they were supposed to, and the whispering started. Not from the cast, not from the audience, but from somewhere else. I had barely turned when I saw them. Tall, wrong-shaped figures moving just outside the spotlight's reach. The lead actor, mid-monologue, faltered as one of these shapes stepped forward, its long, bony fingers curling around his shoulder. He gasped. The audience gasped. And then, well, the show must go on. By the time the final act arrived, half the cast had vanished, and the ones who remained had stopped pretending. The screams were no longer theatrical. The bodies on stage weren't getting up for curtain call. And yet, the audience loved it. The applause was deafening now. They weren't leaving their seats. They weren't moving at all, really. Just clapping, wide-eyed and grinning, as though they, too, had become part of the show. I turned to the director. He sat slumped in his chair, eyes darting wildly between the stage and the audience. His fingers gripped the armrest so tightly his knuckles had gone pale. "This," he whispered, more to himself than me. "This was never in the script." His breath hitched, his expression wavering between terror and awe. Finally, in a voice too weak to carry, he said, "It was a great performance." His voice was flat, but his eyes betrayed something else. Disbelief, admiration, and fear. Somewhere in the theater, the old stage ropes creaked, swaying as if touched by unseen hands. The floorboards groaned beneath a weight that wasn't there. And underneath the relentless applause, a low rustling sound slithered through the air like pages turning in a book no one had opened. I looked back at the stage where the figures still lingered in the dim light, unmoving, waiting. The audience, still clapping, their smiles unnervingly wide. And I understood. This wasn't just a play. It had never been. We were all a part of something much bigger, something ancient, something that demanded spectacle, demanded sacrifice. And as the curtain fell, the applause did not. It rose and swelled, endless, relentless, an ovation without end. And neither the audience nor I would ever leave this theater again. The second story was inspired by a writing prompt character suggestion of a patronizing fairy with a savior complex. So here I tried to blend suspense with absurdist humor, leaning into dry wit while trying to keep the pacing tight and letting the humor land through character dynamics. Vivian, Greg's patronizing fairy, saved him from raccoons, buses, and himself. "Gregory, must I do everything?" she sighed, yanking him from traffic. Then one day, she wasn't there, but he survived. A shimmer lingered. "Wait, am I fixed?" Silence. Then, faintly, "Ugh, don't make it weird." This third story was inspired by a writing prompt concept suggestion of a hidden message encoded in the DNA of all life on Earth. Here I wanted to poke fun at the sometimes bizarre world of corporate wellness programs. As I decoded my DNA, I found a text message. "Eat more kale." I chuckled, thinking it was just a joke from a coworker. But then the instructions started appearing everywhere, on my phone, on the fridge, even on the CEO's coffee mug. "Take one cup of quinoa per day and drink at least 8 cups of almond milk." I felt like I was trapped in some kind of bizarre corporate wellness program. But things took a turn for the absurd when I tried to follow the instructions. As soon as I drank a glass of almond milk, I started to feel different. My cells began to shift and contort, taking on properties of plant material. I looked down and saw that my hands were sprouting leaves, tiny, quivering things that wobbled in the breeze. My coworkers gasped as I wilted into a human-sized lettuce leaf. The CEO smiled serenely from across the room, saying, "It's just the company's new wellness initiative for employees." I shot him a withering look, or what was left of my face anyway. What kind of wellness program made people turn into sentient vegetables? Just then, the IT guy walked in and said, "Sorry about that, folks. We're running on a new system. It's supposed to help us grow as an organization." I glared at him, but he just shrugged and said, "Hey, at least we're getting some fiber." I'm excited to share my own take on the writing prompt given in episode 2, which was, "The scent of fresh ink danced through the air." So without further ado, here is my poetic response. Fingers trace the faded lines, letters aching to be revived. Memories stir, tangled like vines, in pages where lost dreams survived. The scent of fresh ink danced through the air, whispering echoes of words left unsaid. Bound in dust and time's cruel care, the stories lay silent, asleep in their bed. Oh, what was meant and left behind, a novel never fully spun. Yet ink still breathes a fate unkind, a tale unfinished, yet not undone. And now, here is my microfiction response. The scent of fresh ink danced through the air as Mira dipped her needle into midnight black. Her latest client, a quiet woman with searching eyes, pointed to a delicate design, a feather, barely more than a whisper against the skin. "It has to be perfect," she murmured. Mira nodded. She had heard this before. But as the needle hummed and the ink settled, something strange happened. The feather shimmered, shifting between the lines. The woman gasped, staring at her arm. "It's hers," she whispered. "My sister's handwriting." Mira's hands trembled. This wasn't the first time her ink had brought ghosts to life. I hope you enjoyed those. Now for the episode 3 writing prompt. This week we have the word factoid. That's F-A-C-T-O-I-D, factoid. Share your work with us on Blue Sky using the hashtag PromptedPodcast, and I'll feature a few random submissions in the next episode. If you'd prefer to share your writing privately, feel free to visit our website, thepromptedpodcast.org, and send it through our contact form. I can't wait to see what creativity ignites within you. Happy writing! Thank you for listening to Prompted, where we unlock creativity one writing prompt at a time. And remember, if you're a writer who enjoys word prompts, I'd like to invite you to be a guest on the show. Simply send me a DM on our Blue Sky account at thepromptedpodcast.org, or reach out through our website,
theprompted.podcast.org for more information. To find out when the next episode of Prompted is posted, or to keep up with our passion for sharing creative inspiration, be sure to sign up for our newsletter from our website or follow us on Blue Sky.